go. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Brian Baldinger, NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports, host of Baldy's Breakdown.
And if you're Ben Johnson coming in, you can't ask for anything more as a first-year head coach. Let's get this competition going right now. In minicamp, in OTAs, take it into training camp, and let's get the best people on the field when we kick the season off.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
I think Caleb right now is in a good spot with a good coach, and whatever happened a year ago or a little bit longer than a year ago, I mean, it's just, you know, those kind of things can resurface. I don't think it has anything to do with what the Bears are trying to build right now.
Brian Baldinger on 670 The Score.
It's Mark Rohde and Dan Wiederer in for Rahimi and Harris. Both Layla and Marshall have the day off today, so we are in and we are excited to talk more Bears, more NFL. We are indeed joined by Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Baldy, what's going on, man?
Well, getting ready for a nice holiday weekend, get the summer kicked off here. So just like everybody else, looking to get a little relaxation in.
Well, I saw you on television the other day, man. You got a great tan going on. Are you near an ocean right now, I'm guessing?
I'm right on the ocean, yes. Yeah, I'll be diving here in about for some lionfish in about the next hour, as soon as I get off the phone here.
Oh, okay. Are you actually outside on the beach? Because I know you've been known to break it down before while in the ocean, right?
Well, I have to I'm shark diving tomorrow, so I want to, like, just, you know, work on my breath holding here a little bit here today.
Are you serious?
I was going to do some ups and downs here.
Are you seriously going shark diving?
I'm going to Jupiter, yeah. I'm diving with some tiger sharks and bull sharks, and yeah, we're going to jump in the waters out there and jumping in tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Hold on. Those are like the nastiest possible sharks. Aren't those the most aggressive sharks that you can be around, Brian?
They're aggressive, yeah. They're aggressive. I feel pretty good about the people I'm going with, though. So
okay.
I'm putting a lot of trust in those people's hands.
Okay. All right. Well, you be safe out there. And I mean that when I say that,
yeah.
Baldy. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Baldy, what does Caleb Williams have to do to take the next level in his progress from what you saw last year?
Well, you can't play at the frenetic pace that he played at last year, where every single drop back looked like it was, you know, he was running for his life. I mean, he was sacked 68 times. Some of it was his fault. But, you know, he just needs to get the ball out a little bit more frequently on rhythm and timing. That would help a lot. It would help if the design of the offense was a whole lot better than anything we saw last year. So, I do think some of that's going to help. And, you know, the offensive line should be improved so that, you know, he's not literally dropping back, hitting his third step or his fifth step, and then just literally running like it's like he's a bat out of hell. Like he's got to stop that. And if you're watching that and you're seeing that on Sundays on any regular basis, then things aren't going well.
Baldy, great to talk to you again. I'm wondering what you find most intriguing about the union between Ben and Caleb and what that potentially could do for both guys as they try to make this work.
Well, I've only known Ben Johnson since he took over the offensive coordinator job in Detroit 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And in those 3 years, Jared Goff put together three great years in a row. You know, something that no Bear quarterback has ever done, throwing for over 4,000 yards easily every year. But I do think he has a very unique style about how to game plan and how to best move the football. And sometimes it's by formation. Sometimes it's by route combination. Sometimes it's by deception, heavy deception. And then sometimes it's just like, let's just knock these guys off the ball and let's run it. And then let's run some play action passes off it. I mean, I think some of it is kind of basic and sound, but at the same time, there's a lot of creativity to really taking advantage of what the defense does or the pattern you think the defense is going to play based on routes, formations, and route combinations, and what he thinks the defense is going to do, and then how he counters that.
Obviously, you know the upgrades they made to the offensive line, particularly on the interior, in the month of March. What is the biggest plus that you see happening for the offense at large, and obviously Caleb, with that interior being as sturdy as it seems to be right now?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of competition. I mean, Ryan Bates has been a starter in this league. He's a backup right now. You know, I mean, I think there's going to be competition across the front. Armagedji, let's see what he looks like in his second year. Didn't get a chance to play much last year. Let's see the development and the strength. Let's see if Drew Dolman and Jonah Jackson can stay healthy for a whole year. Because I do think they're upgrades if they do. Tooney is a stud, and he'll make everybody better. Let's see if Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright can take a step up this year with what they want to do. They both have to improve based on what we've seen. But, I mean, if the competition is good and the guys that I just mentioned improve, then this should be an improved front. And if it is, it should be the foundation to everything that they do next year.
I want to stay with the offensive line for a second because you're right, man. That's a good way to put it. A lot of competition. And at this very moment, we don't know who's going to be the Bears' left tackle. You know, Braxton Jones is the incumbent, but he has been injured. So we did see another guy that you just mentioned, Karan Amagaji, was the guy, at least in the OTA, that the media was allowed to see. Karan Amagaji was playing the left tackle spot. And that also brings me to Darnell Wright, who is the right tackle, but we have been told that it's not out of the question that they could change Darnell Wright or switch Darnell Wright from the right side to the left side. Would you mess with that? Because there has been success for Darnell Wright on the right side.
Well, it's not my first option, but if I'm trying to get the best five players on the field, I would consider it. I have not seen Darnell play left tackle. I've seen him at Tennessee play right, and I've seen him in Chicago play right tackle. It's not to say that he can't. Many guys have made the switch, some successful, some not so successful. But my goal this whole offseason and through the preseason is to get the best five players on the field. And whatever combination that is right now, that's what they have to concentrate on doing. There was a time when Ben Johnson was in Detroit when they were running Taylor Decker out of Detroit and they were going to put Penei Sewell at left tackle. And he did go over there when Decker did get injured for a while. But they fought that, and they ended up playing their best five guys week in, week out. And so and they left Decker alone. So that's their mission right now. That's what has to be part of the evaluation process every day, is to make sure they get the five healthiest and best players on that group up front.
That's a great reminder. I mean, that's a great reference to Detroit, and that's the smart thing to do, and that we're doing a lot of that too, because obviously coaches will learn from where they are and then typically bring that to the team in which they exist. That said, Ozzie Trapillo was a second-round draft pick of the Bears, another guy who played right tackle, but they're talking about him potentially being a left tackle. Did you have a chance to watch Ozzie Trapillo break down any of his tape and what you have seen from the big man?
Well, he's a three-year starter at Boston College in a really good program that turns out a lot of good offensive linemen. I only saw him play right tackle.
Yeah,
I didn't see him play left tackle. I don't know if he practiced there or if he played there and I didn't see it, but I didn't see him play left tackle. He has his strengths in that I think he's very tough. He's very long. I do think he may struggle a little bit with just his size, his height, and being able to get low enough to move some of the immovable objects at defensive tackle and defensive end that play a lot lower than him. I think it's something he's going to have to really concentrate on. But there's a lot to like about him from a protection standpoint. I think he's very good. But I do think in the run game, he might struggle a little bit just because he's 6'8".
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for him to get down and underneath, you know, guys on the defensive front. If he had to go, you know, move Jervon Dexter, you know, a defense tackle, that might be a little challenge for him right now.
All right, Baldy, obligatory NFL question of the week. The tush-push is here to stay for 2025, but two-thirds of the teams in the league were pushing to get rid of it. Where do you come down on that play and its purpose in the sport?
It's a great play. And, you know, the teams that don't execute it well simply don't understand physics. The Eagles practice that play more than any other play in their whole playbook. When you do that and you execute the way they do, you shouldn't have that play removed simply because you're excellent at it. And other teams that try it have no idea how to do it. And trying to get it crossed out of the league, that's wrong. The Eagles perfected the play. They work on the play. Let other teams work on it. Let them put the emphasis on the play. Walk through it. Talk through it. Practice it every single day. Walk through it in the training room, in the offseason, during the season, getting ready for a Super Bowl. They never stop working on that play. So to take that play out simply because it doesn't look like an NFL play, or it looks gimmicky, or it looks like a scrum, it doesn't to the Philadelphia Eagles, not at all.
Yeah, very, very specific to the Philadelphia Eagles, no doubt about it. We're being joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger on the Raheem and Harris Show. Mark Grody and Dan Weeder are filling in today. I want to play a little bit of audio for you here, Baldy. And this was Ben Johnson just 2 days ago. Dan and I were both at Halas Hall and talking to the head coach of the Bears, Ben Johnson. Here was his take on the tush push. I want to hear what you think about this.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play?
Does it become a first down or a touchdown?
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays. So I'm not a big tush push guy myself.
Well, what do you think about that, Baldy?
Well, I think he's missing the point completely. I mean, the point is the Eagles on 3rd and 4 can do whatever they want to do, as opposed to any analytics that would tell you that you have to throw it on 3rd and 4. And I'm sure Ben likes to throw it on 3rd and 4. But if you're gaining 3 yards and you're running it, and now you have 4th and 1, and you have a play that converts 90% of the time, you now have the defense in a bind constantly. And so I would disagree with Ben on that completely. I like explosive plays too. But, you know, quarterbacks, you go a long way in the tush push if you don't get their legs. You know, Carson Wentz went 42 yards on a quarterback sneak one time because the Commanders didn't grab his legs. That's an explosive play, 42 yards in my book. So I think he's kind of missing the point a little bit personally.
What do you think, look, when people say it, are they just throwing stuff out there when they say that it's a dangerous play?
Yes. Nobody's ever been hurt on the play. In fact, it's almost hard to be hurt on the play. Like, if you've never had an injury on a play, then how can you even surmise that it could be a possibility of an injury? There's a possibility of an injury like Dre Greenlaw going on the field in the Super Bowl game and his Achilles blows out. Yeah. There's a possibility of an injury every single play. But if there's never been an injury on a play, why would you even bring it up?
So why do you think that there was such a push to get rid of it, you know, and that they did use health and safety as sort of the engine to try to get rid of it?
Well, because, you know, they ran it 6 times down against Washington in an NFC Championship game in front of a really large audience. And it looked bad when guys kept jumping off sides and Frankie Louvo was going over the top, which is the dumbest thing you can do. To stop the play. It simply isn't good physics to stop that play going over the top. But, you know, I mean, it looked like a bad play when everybody's jumping off sides and Washington is, you know, they're moving the ball 6 inches closer to the goal line. It had a bad look to it. And so, you know, I'm sure the commissioner didn't like it. I'm sure people in the front office of the NFL said, you know, like, let's put this on the table. Let's talk about it. Let's get rid of it. But, you know, ultimately it takes, 24 teams to ratify a change, and they only got 22 votes. So, you know, like a lot of things that get talked about, it didn't get passed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because we even asked Grady Jarrett, the Bears defensive lineman, former Falcons defensive lineman, about it. He was like, basically, Dan, he was saying, well, you got to stop it, right?
Yeah.
So he seemed to support it.
He said that he never felt endangered either.
Right. I mean, this is a veteran defensive lineman. And to that end as well, if I may, Baldy, and we're talking to Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider here on the Score of the Raheem and Harris Show, featuring Mark Grody and Dan Weederer today. The Bears defensive line, it did improve. There's no doubt about it. When you get Grady Jarrett in here, you drafted Shamar Turner in the second round. Dio Adangbo is here. So in theory, they are better, but they're going with the philosophy of we're going to get better push inside, and that's why it's going to be easier for us to get to the quarterback. At this point, other than Montez Sweat, who had a poor year last year relative to the previous year, Dio Adangbo has not gotten to the quarterback a ton. Do the Bears have a problem right now in terms of getting to the quarterback, or do you think that inside push has improved enough to where theoretically they can get to the quarterback easier this year?
I mean, we'll see what Austin Booker looks like in the second year.
Yeah, him too. Yep.
He was drafted, you know, with the idea that he could develop. I don't think they're a great pass rushing defensive front right now. I feel like they need to blitz in order to get pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Gray Jarrett's been a good player for a long time. I don't know. I think he's in his, you know, double-digit years now. I mean, typically those guys don't get a whole lot better after all the snaps. He's a great person. He's a great player. But I wouldn't say that he is an elite pass rusher at this point. you know, we'll see. Billings is a run stopper. Dexter has shown flashes of ability to be able to rush the passer from the interior, but I don't think there's Jalen Carter or Chris Jones, you know, or any of those monsters inside in Chicago right now coming after you.
Baldy, back at the combine, it struck me how many people around the league were, I guess, encouraged about the addition of Dennis Allen to run the defense as Ben gets things up and running on the offensive side of things. What do you think Dennis's presence here means to everything that we're talking about in terms of the Bears trying to get off the ground and to complement their offense with a defense that can carry the load some weeks?
I don't have any stats in front of me, but does anybody play more man coverage than Dennis Allen? I mean, if I was the corners right here and I was Jalen, or if I was, you know, Tyreek, or if I'm one of the corners, I mean, I'm going to be locked up and challenging every single pass and every single route. I mean, I like that. I like that style.
They love it,
you
too.
Know, I mean, he's a front four dominant. You know, Kyle Gordon's a hell of a player. He's a great nickel. It really is incumbent upon your front four. And New Orleans has had a number of good pass rushers over the years. Cam Jordan comes to mind. But guys that, you know, were able to get home. But they're going to challenge your receivers. They're going to challenge your quarterbacks with the amount of man coverage that they play. And so, if you're playing the Minnesota Vikings and, you know, there's Justin Jefferson out there and some of those guys, that might be a fun Sunday to go watch some football.
Baldy, I'm hoping the best for you. I assume you've been swimming with those sharks before, right? With the bull sharks? Or is this the first time that you...
I have not. No.
This is the first.
I see sharks all the time, but I have actually jumped in the water with the tiger sharks before. So I don't know how my system is going to react yet. I'm kind of anxious to find out.
Are you going to be able to take pictures of this? Like, is there an under, like, does the guide have an?
I'm going to go pro camera with me. Yeah, I'm going to film the whole thing.
Oh, awesome. So yeah, we'll get to see that. Cause I'm like legit, man. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Me too.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. And I'll be looking for those pictures. Be careful, man.
Stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe.
Okay. All right.
There he goes.
Now they're chum in the water. So that's just sharks. They should be eaten. They should be fine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Bring the chum, whatever you got to bring. Take care of them.
Yeah. All right.
All right,
you,
man.
Got it, guys.
All right. Take care.
Talk soon.
Take care.
Brian Baldinger. He did. He brought the breakdown. Baldy brought the breakdown. That was Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure you check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.